then with Paul and with Steve. I've struggled with this session, getting enthusiasm up for it. Maybe it's because I'm tired. We've had an awful lot of wonderful stuff, spiritual food over the last 2 days. Maybe I've just overeaten. Exhausted. It's tiring, isn't it? Being on Zoom and just getting motivated. I'm finding a bit of a struggle at the moment. So maybe you won't mind if we just dump this session. It'd be simpler, wouldn't it? Yeah. I think you've probably guessed what the subject is that I've been blessed with this time. It's apathy. Now, if there's anybody here who's never been affected by apathy in any way, then you might just want to go and make yourself a cup of tea or several cups of tea for the next hour and a half. But I think it's something that's part of the human condition every now and then. A definition of it is lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. And apathy is when you lack motivation to do anything or just don't care about what's going on around you. You may lack the desire to do anything that involves thinking or your emotions. Think most of us can identify with parts of that, if not all of it. Now, apathy can also be a symptom of mental health problems, and that's not what we're looking at here. Okay. Now, as I've waffled a bit earlier, it could be due to tiredness, exhaustion, illness, too much going on in your life, too busy. Us Christians are pretty good at that, I think, being busier perhaps than God intended us to be. I know at times I have been, and I have friends, and I know people here as well. It's difficult to say no. And we think that if we don't do it, then who is going to do it? We forget that God has the overview, and He doesn't want us totally exhausted. He wants us to be able to walk with Him at His pace. Now, we could be exhausted physically, emotionally, we could even be worn out spiritually. And that leads us into some form of what we're terming apathy. Now, I heard some teaching a while ago. I can't remember where it was from, whether it was in Christian teaching or whether it was from somewhere else, about us having an emotional cup inside of us that gradually fills up with silt at the from the bottom as things are happening. I'm doing hand signals here, which of course is no good to you and no good to anybody listening to the recording, but you'll just have to visualize this then. That as things happen in our lives, this emotional cup fills up gradually and fills up and fills up, and we're coping fine, not realizing that we're storing up all this stuff inside us. And then at some point it reaches the top, and then suddenly it's all overflowing. And I think we've probably, many of us, if not all of us, have been there at some time or other as well, and we feel we just can't cope with anymore. I've had this situation quite recently, because over about 18 months, my Ellie, my old golden retriever, who's not here anymore, she was not well, and I was losing sleep most nights because she needed my attention. So lack of sleep as well, which I can't function without the right amount of sleep. And then we moved into, there was this that going on, and a dear friend who is somewhere around here today reminded me of how much that was looking after her was probably taking out of me. And I think there's many of us who've been in that situation with elderly parents or being a carer for somebody, not even perhaps part of our family, and you know how much that takes out of you. And this person said, you know, just recognize that that is happening to you. It's taking a lot out of you. And then along came lockdown. And at first, I don't think I approached it in quite the right attitude, because I thought at first, not expecting it to go on for that long, I don't think any of us were, that I thought, well, this is business as usual for me. I've lived on my own donkey's years. So what's the difference? And then, you know, I started to realise that this isn't good. I'm not really coping too well with this. Then a friend of mine with mental health problems started to make extreme demands on me. And I reached the point where I thought, no, stop. I can't deal with anymore. I obviously reached my limit. I felt very bad about it, but I've also been in the situation before where I've got in the way of what God's trying to do with someone and been a blockage in the way of God getting them to the point he wants them to, which may be the bottom before they'll look up. I'm sure some of us have done this as well. And we need to know when God's saying, back off, just leave me to get on with this job. It isn't your responsibility. They need to be desperate enough to turn to me rather than relying on you. So I ended up in that sort of desperate state with everything boiling over, and was for a period when I could have been doing all sorts at home, because there was nothing, couldn't go out and do anything else. I could have done lots of things, but I just hadn't the oomph. I was really lacking in any enthusiasm to do anything. I was probably a bit depressed as well, but apathy certainly sums up my state then. And there's a quote that somebody brought up a few weeks ago. How can you pull down the strongholds of Satan if you don't have the strength to turn off the TV? Well, that wasn't my problem, turning off the TV. But we aren't in a good position if we're really sort of down and out, not dealing with apathy. Couple of scriptures that came to mind at first when I got the subject to deal with were from Revelation. You're probably already ahead of me on this. In Revelation chapter 2, in the message to Ephesus, in verse 4, nevertheless, I have against you that you have left your first love. Wow. And then we'll look at these together. In chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, in the message to Laodicea. Where are we? And the message of the congregation in Laodicea, you must write. He, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God, says these things. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Because you are lukewarm in this way and neither hot nor cold, I am going to spew you out of my mouth. I think it would be good for us to just spend a few minutes just thinking about those two situations. Have we lost our first love? Are we just lukewarm and respond personally to the Lord on those issues, or start to if we feel that that is an issue for us. We'll just spend 5 minutes or so individually. Okay, folks. Let's come back together. I'm not going to ask for any feedback on that. This is between each of us and the Lord. And it's not a general conversation subject. This is so personal. It's really personal stuff. So let's start to address this issue of apathy. In Isaiah 40, it says, "They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength." Now, in the Hebrew, the translation of "wait upon" brings out something rather beautiful. It's about being braided together. Now, think about that. A braid, it's a number of different threads all wrapped around each other to make a very strong, very close braid. It's all intertwined together. And that took me, with no surprise, that took me to John 17, which we've already heard at least once today. Verses 20 to 23, but there's lots more around it as well. It's Jesus praying to the Father. "I do not ask concerning them only, but also concerning those who believe in me because of the disciples' message, so that all would be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they also would be in us, so that the world would believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory which you have given to me, so that they would be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they would have been brought into unity, so that the world would know that you sent me, and you loved them just as you loved me." And Jesus here, he's repeated himself about this business of him being in us and the Father being in him and us all being intertwined, braided together. And when things are duplicated like that in Scripture, it doubles, it strengthens, well, it more than doubles the importance of what's being said. I find this passage absolutely mind-boggling. This is a phenomenal prayer for us, for us, by the one whose prayers are guaranteed to be answered. Let's take a few minutes just to let that sink in. Okay, let's move on. Apathy has to go, because we're not going to get anything done if we're in that sort of apathetic state. And it needs to be replaced with zeal, which is great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or an objective. Most of us can perhaps remember what we were like when we first came to know the Lord and how we were firing on more cylinders than we had at times. Okay, putting our foot in our mouth umpteen times, but there was some zeal there, wasn't there? We need to restore that zeal into our lives. We've got to shift our focus. And how are we going to do that? Now, I know this is the after lunch session, so I'm going to ask for somebody to put you back into groups again, into whichever coloured room you've been earlier. And what I'd like you to do is to work together to look into scriptures, to ask God to show you where to look, and discuss together. Make sure you've got a group leader. And later, what I'm hoping is that you'll bring back from each group at least three, but hang on to any extra ones because we may be doubling up here. But have ready to for the group leader to present and put into the chat, like you did on Monday, those of you who were here. Yeah, it was only yesterday, gosh. So that the group leader can put them into the chat, and then we can get together a bank of ideas for everybody to be able to use. Some will be more appropriate to some than others, or all of them have probably got gems in them for each one of us, so that we can help each other. As was discussed earlier today, we're running the race together, like those trainee Marines. We're not trying to outstrip each other. Nobody should be lagging behind. We are a body moving together, and we need to encourage each other. Apart from coming back with at least three ideas and some more in the pot in case you all come up with the first three that are all identical, because we want plenty of ideas. Also, if anybody has a personal story of how they've managed to kick apathy out of the way and regain their zeal, either recently or perhaps in the past, it would be lovely to be able to hear that as well individually. So I'm going to send you off. I'm hoping that there's somebody out there who's going to be able to press the right buttons to do this, into groups to do this. The team people don't need to join in because I don't want anybody to be relying on them. That is the core folk to do the hard work. This is for everybody to really rely on the Lord to help them to search the right things out. So I'm going to send you away for about half an hour again, so that you can have a good discussion about what you're digging up and where to look. Sort it out between yourselves, and we'll see you back with the group leaders then putting it into the chat. Okay. Steve, can you press some buttons, please? Yes, do please persevere to join your group, because I think you're all going to be able to help each other. You click join on the invitation that you have. Okay. Is everybody back? If you're not back, raise your hand, please. Okay. Right. I hope that you've had a good time and you've learnt a lot together. What I want to ask first is if the people who have got a brief story to tell about how they've achieved that shift from apathy through to zeal, either recently or in the past, or perhaps needs revising or whatever, or doing again, if they could put their hands up, their electronic hands, because Barry will contact you by chat for a little bit more information so that we can see how to organise that part, which will be later on. So he can do a bit of homework first to see which bits are going to fit best where. So, okay, we've already got one hand up. That's brilliant. Thank you, Philip. Barry will be picking picking off the hands and getting in touch by text during the next few minutes. We've got a group. Which group, Robert, are you reporting from? Are you doing the report, or I've just had a chat message from Robert with some text on. Where is Robert? So can somebody unmute Robert to speak to? Woo! Hang on. Oh, what's going on here? Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Robert. You just sent me a message. Was that as a group leader?
Well, I don't know about a good leader, but I got my arm twisted. And we had a fantastic chat. And one of the things that we came unanimous with is it's a choice. We are faced with a choice. It's a bit like worship, that some people may come and say, don't feel like worshipping, but you're given that choice. And to get our zeal, we can either wallow in the mire, or we can allow ourselves to be clawed out. And we can help in that clawing out by our attitude and what we do. And we had quite a few scriptures, but I've just chosen three and sent them onto the chat. Nehemiah, when they were under the kosh and things were looking down, and he says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And one of the last comments that we were discussing was about King David, when he said that he took himself off and strengthened himself in the Lord. And we can do, and then some people said, we can't always do that because of our circumstances, and sometimes things pile in upon us. And another thing we established is that none of our group are suffering with apathy at the moment. So that is good. And so the three scriptures were just sent in, and be interesting to see if any other people send the same sort of thing in. And yeah, so we had a good chat. Yeah, it's nice to meet new people.
That's brilliant. Now, the John and Rose Jenks, I need you to send that message to everybody. You've sent it to me privately, but we need it to be saved on the chat on the chat file. Can somebody unmute John or Rose Jenks for me, please? They're next on my list. The Pineapple Group. Which group were you, John? Robert? Oh, can't hear you. Hang on. Can you mime the fruit? There you go.
Right. I don't know what fruit we were. I just saw all these faces appear on the screen and like, ah.
Okay, right.
We were good fruit, though.
Right. Okay, have I got John or Rose?
Yep, we're here.
Right, your message, you sent it privately to me. Can you send it
already to everybody? Already done.
Have you? Oh, wonderful. Let's slow down a bit. Ah, yeah, I'll go back to the one in between. Right, would you like to talk us through your groups?
Well, it was difficult to summarize what 8 people said over 30 minutes. I can highly recommend what Mary Devine was reading from her wee book. And I even asked her to repeat it all, but I could still only get a few of the words. But they were nuggets. They were absolute nuggets. Perhaps Mary can write it up and send it off. But it was beautiful, and it was she ended it up with speaking about the meaning of the Hebrew word waiting, which entailed entwining, as you had said, Carolyn, Christine, and also referenced Rahab's cord, which was entwined around the window, and that was her hope of salvation. That was her waiting on the Lord, her entwining a red cord. I thought that was really beautifully presented. And then we got to talking about Nehemiah, and we talked about Noah, which I forgot to, didn't even write on there, that Noah... Noah And chapter 6, verse 22, he did all, he was obedient to do all that the Lord had commanded in Genesis. Maybe it still took him 100 years, but he couldn't have been apathetic or he wouldn't have built that great big thing. And then Nancy gave the same verses that Robert's group gave about the joy of the Lord is our strength. Also Deuteronomy 33:25, as your day, so shall your strength be. And Audrey, who with her disabilities and feeling stiff and uncomfortable first thing in the morning, has to get herself out of bed and get all sorts of things done and might want to just lay back down and give it up, says, she says, Lord, this is your day. And then she starts to worship the Lord and she just gets up and gets on with doing what needs to be done. And it fighting apathy requires obedience. Is a biggie, hard work one, but worshiping should be more easily done. And if we rise up singing, praising the Lord, it's a bit easier to get out of bed. And then when all else fails, there's chocolate.
Yes. I like that.
Do you mind if I say something? There's a message from another group to everybody, or in relation, they say they lost the original chat. So they had possibly typed it in while they were in their groups. And what we did, we opened Word and Rose typed the items into Word and then we just copied and pasted into the chat thing so that we could make better use of the time.
Right. Yeah, that was clever move.
Well, it worked, thankfully.
It worked, yes. Yes, I meant for folk to do it when you get back, but it's more difficult when you haven't got the rest of the group there to back you up. Yeah, we'll have to think about that when we ask people to do things like this in future. Hopefully one of the co-hosts is making a note of that, because technically it's completely lost on me, but I can see there's an issue there.
And so it is difficult to be taking notes and writing it down and still listening to what people were saying and enjoying it being said, and then you have 3 seconds to write it.
Yeah, we gave you rather a difficult task there. Sorry about that, folks. But
Christine, you did.
Yeah, sorry.
When you're in breakout rooms, you can only chat to the people in the breakout room, and then the chat gets closed when the breakout room gets closed. Chats are not carried from breakout rooms into the main session.
Yeah.
Okay. This is where those flip charts come into their own again then, isn't it? Yeah, we want somebody to write on the flip chart. Not sure if Zoom are up to that. Yeah, right, let's see what else I've got here. I scrolled past one. Hang on. There was one before, that was Robert Hopkins. Right. And there's a note from earlier on today that Mary Devine put up, which is really appropriate. I didn't get a chance to read it before. Apathy is the enemy of the soul. Yeah, we need to remember that. Wish I'd known that back in January. I might have kick-started myself into action. Right, we've had John and Rose. Let's come down here. Okay, Betty, would you like to report from the Melon Room? Somebody unmute Betty.
Oh, it's done. It's okay. We had several references. Psalm 42:12 was the first one. Well, it's 12 in the One New Man. It's 11 in other versions. It's, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him regardless of how I'm feeling. It was the first one. And then we had Ephesians 6 about putting on the armour of God, the whole armour. There's no point putting the armour on if we're not ready to do something with it. So that was another point. Then Revelation 2:5 about it's following on from your way, about having, and then you could have your lampstand taken away from you. So if, you know, and we don't want that. And then Aggie pointed out that we're a lot in the Bible is either equating it to a race or or a contest. And we have to be in training all times. We need to remind ourselves that we're in training, because there's no good going into a race or into a war with, you know, if you're not trained up. And then something else that came out of it was a bit like a marriage. After a while goes a bit stale and you're a bit bored with it. And we thought, well, you need to think about things to spice up, to do things a little bit differently, to approach things and to be expectant of what the Lord is going to do. Don't lose that expectancy that the Lord is in charge and is going to do something. That's a very quick sort of sum up.
Wow, that was an interesting session there, I'm sure. Yes. Yeah. I wish I'd been in these groups. Doubt. Okay. We've done that. Lynn. Oh, Lynn, just to tell everybody, thank you, Lynn, that Robert, you were in the ETROG group, the ergogenic ETROG. Thumbs up from Robert. Wonderful. If anybody wants to draw an ETROG for us later, that I'm sure would be very educational. Right. It looks like Kim was the group leader for, I'm not sure where.
We were a pair group. And unfortunately.
Which fruit were you?
We were a pair. Unfortunately.
You were
a pair. We were one of the ones who did all our chat and then lost it all.
So, oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's fine. No, we came up with lots of verses, all fantastic. And then we sort of went on to say, actually, it's not. You know, not just through God's word can we, you know, get our zeal back, but actually spending time, you know, admiring God's creation, singing to the Lord, spending time with the Lord, obviously, and each other. You know, we're all called to encourage each other. And when one's flagging, like the picture of the race, when one's flagging, the other one picks us up. And when, you know, when they're flagging, we pick them up. So that was it, really.
That's brilliant. That's a slightly different approach. That is lovely to hear. I've just had an idea. Perhaps David Searle, you can tell me if this is a realistic one. So much good information coming out here and lots of scriptures. And as we've had some groups that have lost what they put down because the system doesn't keep it, what would it work if people just put into the chat to everyone any scriptures, just if you title it zeal and then the relevant scriptures, so that we end up with a whole list of scriptures that come in that package of zeal, then we can all end up with a copy of that ultimately.
As long as it's in the chat to everyone. It will get picked up and saved.
Brilliant. Does that sound like a good idea, everybody? Put your physical thumbs up. I can only see page one, but does that sound like a good idea so that we don't miss out on some of the scriptures that aren't able to come up? Yeah, I've got lots of thumbs up. That'll keep me happy. Brilliant. Okay, so that was Kim's one. And Jackie Stratton has put a list here from the guava. Oh, that's an exotic fruit. Can we hear from Jackie Stratton, please?
There we are. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Right. We had lots and lots of scriptures too, and I just put the brief scriptures on the chat.
Yeah.
It was really hard to choose, make a decision as to which ones to put on. I chose Hebrews 10:19-25, which is the list of the let us do this, let us do that, particularly. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, Let us not give up meeting together, and let us encourage one another. When you're feeling apathetic, you really, really want somebody on the outside to say, you're okay, you can do it, you know, and to lift you and encourage you. Monica came up with a couple of lovely scriptures that I didn't put on, mentioning a cord of three strands is not easily broken, which sometimes when you're feeling apathetic, you need to know that there's, you know, we are braided, as somebody earlier was, you were, I think, Christine, earlier talking about being braided together with the Lord. And she also mentioned, but you, O Lord, are the lifter of my head. But another scripture that I put on the list was Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Oh, no, that one I've already talked about. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Which is the bit that Joe Jones actually said was so important, that we are filled with the Spirit. When we're apathetic, to remember to ask the Lord to fill us, refill us. And it talks about be filled with the Spirit, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. The importance was given to how important thanks are, because that encourages us when we thank God and we remember what he's done in our lives. That's important. And I think everybody says how wonderful the Psalms were for lifting you. And in particular, Psalm 100 was mentioned, where it talks about make a joyful noise because to the Lord, and that inspires us and lifts us up. So that's about it, I think.
Brilliant, thank you. Something before you get switched off, or actually it may not matter, that you said earlier on in there about needing somebody else to perhaps boost you up and encourage you. Now, can I pass that out to everybody? During this time when we're not able to meet and mix, if there's folk in your circle, whichever sort of circle we're talking about, who you know is on their own, call them up. It is very, very difficult for those of us who live alone to sort of give ourselves a kick up the backside. It can end up in dislocation somewhere along the line. So do remember the folk who are on their own, who aren't having contact with any or many other people. They need you. We need you. Okay. That is, hey, this is good. There's so much coming out of this session. It is brilliant. Now then, we have the Mango Room next, I think. John and Diane Chamberlain, but be unmuted, please.
Find them first.
They're in there somewhere. Now, people, you start to understand how complicated it is for us doing the co-hosting, finding people. A fishing net doesn't do it.
Can't see them. They must be there.
That's it. All right, so thank you. We're there now.
Yeah.
Lots of wonderful contributions.
Yeah.
The thing about taking our focus off ourselves and onto the Lord, sort of like fundamental, and we had the same thing, just going out in the country and enjoying creation, and that brings the focus back onto the Lord and off yourself. But then worship is the greatest way. And I had just a little testimony about how I was one of the leaders of a worship group for years and years and years. We always had our rehearsal on a Friday night, and at the end of the week, last thing I wanted to do almost ever was go out. And I was going along, I was thinking, why am I doing this? And you know, apathy was, yeah, a brilliant description of where I was at. But when we got into worshiping the Lord, always stirred up my spirit, and then and my enthusiasm for the Lord returned.
Yeah. Zina in our group had a testimony. Would you like to share it, Zina? Just a thought about worship and intercession.
We're going to the actual testimonies will come at the end.
Okay.
All right.
Oh,
okay.
I see.
Just the feedback.
Okay. And the other one, another one was not by might, nor by power, which can also be translated perhaps more in everyday language, not by effort or by ability, but by my spirit. And obedience is better than sacrifice. And we can get worn out doing things we feel we ought to do for the Lord. But the converse of that is we can be absolutely worn out and weak, but if the Lord's given us something to do, he gives us the strength to do it. And there are some testimonies about that.
Yeah. What else was there?
And there were some comments about zeal on its own needs to have knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Ambrose said that, yeah.
Yeah. There's some examples in Scripture from Acts, Romans 10, about the Jew, Israel having zeal for the law, but for God, but not the knowledge how to apply it, and about Apollos having great zeal but needed instruction. So that's another angle.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazed.
There was a testimony from Shirley that would be worth listening to at some point.
Right, yes, I'm not sure how we're going to manage this today. We may not get to the testimonies because there's still a lot of other things. We were wanting the hands up such that we can get some background first as to what's being offered. But let's just see how we go with this first. Thank you very much, Mangoes. There's loads of enthusiasm coming through to me on this. I don't know if you're all hearing that as well, which is so encouraging. I don't think there's too much lack of zeal amongst us. And hopefully that will encourage those of you who may be feeling a bit sort of dull. Now then, the next group is the Lemons. Linda Hayes, please. Sorry if I'm shouting. If I get excited, it sort of crumples the sound quality.
I've asked Linda to unmute.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Linda.
Yeah, okay. Well, as I put on the chat thing, somebody said it was really important that we have a Sabbath day every week when we're doing different things. They found that that's really helped them to really regain their zeal. And I think, you know, we all said that... you know, we need to focus on the Lord, to spend time in prayer, to spend time in his word. And I think this was just personally, I think that if we're feeling apathetic and we don't spend the time with the Lord, we're just going on a downward spiral. So it's really important that we spend time with the Lord. And I think as well, we concentrated quite a bit on the present situation and how important it's been with Zoom to encourage each other. You know, several people were on their own or, you know, quite isolated, and they were so encouraged to be able to spend time on Zoom with other people and having fellowship that way. Although we do appreciate that, you know, in future we might be persecuted and we might have to spend time. It might just be us and the Lord. So I think that was most of the things that we covered, unless anybody else can think of anything that I've missed.
Okay, now, right, people are already putting in the things. If when you put in the texts, you can put zeal somewhere in your sentence as well so that they don't get lost as what's this about when the file comes through. That would be helpful, most definitely. I've got some texts there. That's a message from David. I'm just trying to... Just remembered, says Kim to everyone, counting our blessings. Yes. That's a good one, most definitely. Yeah. Now, two things I've just remembered. on the count your blessings end of it. Well, I've come back from Scotland recently, had about a month travelling, and only didn't stay at that many different places. So it was chunks of travel and then 5 days staying places. And on one journey, I was just, as things came into my mind, I was just going through all the different names of God as I was driving. And it was absolutely amazing. They just kept popping into my mind. Then I changed tack and tried to go through the alphabet and look for ones that, you know, for A, B, C, etc. And it didn't work like that. Whether that was showing me that the Greek mindset is just not appropriate here, do it my way, please. And the other thing, as I was driving back, quite sad, I'm going to cry in a minute, friend who is in the north of Scotland who now has dementia had got back to me after I told her about Ellie. And she just said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And I think that is so important for us to get our zeal back. If we turn our eyes on him, etc., you know the song, I can't sing it now. And I sang it all the way down the A9. And it was the best journey down the A9 I have ever had, because if any of you have done it, it can be pretty boring, pretty grim. But I sang that all the way down. And I think probably, apart from a reminder to you all, please make sure at some point today, because each day's recordings and the text file are separate, if there are texts that come up to you that you haven't even done in the group that relate to restoring zeal, put them in the chat, zeal, text, whatever it is, in the chat to everyone. And then ultimately we will get that out to you when all this stuff from the conferences all got together. Okay. And we're going to close with Robert singing something to us that is just going to hit the spot, I think. Thank you so much for all your contributions. It has just illustrated how this braiding together works, because we've all come at this from so many different angles and brought up so many different aspects. It has just blown my mind. And I just thank you all for all the work you've done. It's been a super, super exercise, I think. Thank you, Robert. It's over to you. Steve will pop the words up for you.
Are you ready?
Yeah, over to you, Robert.
Okay, right. My soul finds rest in God alone. My peace depends on him. And in that place of quiet rest, he fills me from within. He pours on me his holy oil, Spirit of the living God. Then he takes me by his hand and comforts me with his love. He comforts me with his love. Those who wait upon the Lord, new strength he gives to them. He gives them wings like the eagles, that they might soar with him. He weaves his strength into our lives, The Spirit of Adonai. Then he gives the ball of his peace to God their hearts and their minds, Abba guarding our hearts and minds. Come, my soul, take your rest and find your peace in him. The holy presence of the Lord will fill you from within. Oh, pour on me your holy oil, Spirit of the living God. Fill my cup, I lift it up until I overflow. Oh, pour on me your holy oil, Spirit of the living God. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up until I overflow.
Thank you, Robert, and thank you, Lord, for all that you've shown us today. You're precious. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I think we have a break now for about half an hour max, ready for the next session. I'm not sure if Steve's going to open up the rooms. If you have that option, do go and meet up with folk. I'm not sure if it's happening or not now, but do get yourself a breath of fresh air and a cup of tea before the next starts, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, and do take the full half hour again. We'll start just after 4, 4:05, so you've got plenty of time. Thank you all.